At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to the flagship. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter, and he's Mike Clement, Ole Miss baseball hitting coach. Hey, friend.
What's up, pal?
I'm good, man. I'm just, you know, rolling along. How are y'all over there?
Hey, rolling along. The recruiting season has started a little bit earlier than what we'd like, but where we're at.
Clem, what happened? What happened? When we talked going into the year, we talk all the time, so I don't remember the last time. When we talked going into the year, you had optimism. Some things had to go well. Some things had to – like one of the first things, JT, Quinn, and Grayson Sonia had to take the year two step or the second year step that the great Kessingers took when they were hitters. Same thing except on the pitching side. That obviously didn't happen. Injuries have – blah, 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 blah. But from a coaching standpoint, nobody wants to win more than y'all. So what happened?
Yeah, I think a couple things. You know, we could sit here and talk injuries and no one really wants to hear that, including us, because the fact of the matter is everybody goes through those on different levels, you know, whether it's Revis or Leger the last month of the season or whatever it is. But like that, you still got to go play the games. You still got to go win the games, you know, and, you know, we put ourselves in position the last weekend to be able to play for something, which, you know, at that point going into Baton Rouge, felt pretty good about winning those last the two series prior to that to give ourselves a chance. We just didn't play well enough, not only then, but, you know, went through a stretch in the middle where we didn't play well enough. And really, I think the frustrating part was it was really all facets, right? We weren't consistent enough offensively. We didn't defend it well enough this year. And that's what we've done a really good job of prior to that. And then didn't pitch it well enough. So there's plenty of blame to go around, and certainly we've got to get better in all facets of it. The positive, as you start to jump into the recruiting space and look at a roster and constructing a roster and all of that, you know, we had to overhaul most, if not all of our offense a year ago, and we're not going to have to do that this year, you know? And so there's a core group of guys to build around, which is exciting. And all of them either had success, guy like Fisher who hit 20 home runs and was good, or an element of success. But certainly need to take a step forward, need to be better defensively. And so the good in it is that there's a good core to build around. You know, but we got to do better. We got to be better, period.
The defensive issues are really just what were maddening, because that's just not something you're used to, especially from a catching standpoint. I mean, y'all are three former catchers on the staff, and passed balls were losing games, which is just, and again, y'all want to win just as bad. Y'all want to win more than anybody else. Sure. So, when you get into a tailspin like that and there are no good answers and y'all are searching to, y'all are feeling the pressure to, it's not just the players. How do y'all handle that? How was that handled? Did that play into it at all? I mean, could the I mean, I think one thing that has been missing since the Rebs got hot in the summer of 2022 is a little mental fortitude, right? When things go bad. And it like last, you know, the last week of the season when you drop all five, right? Like, I mean, that's win three and you at least you could say, well, dang it, we got close. You lose all, right? You know, so there's a lot of different stuff like that, but
hard to quantify the mental fortitude and those things where physically I know, like you think back to 22 when we struggled in April that season, the one thing we did first that I feel like, and we've talked about this before, got it turned around was we moved Bench into the infield. We moved McCants to center field and we really fortified the defense. Like we started to really defend, you know, you had Gonzalez at shortstop, Chatagnier at second base, obviously Elko at first and Dunhurst behind the plate.
Where it starts.
But we quickly became a really good defensive team with just a couple of adjustments. Obviously Bench was super valuable in that exchange because he can defend anywhere on the field and be very good at it. At that time, he was playing center field, McCants in right, and we made that switch to move Bench into third base. We didn't have that this year, and that, I think that was the frustrating part because by nature, maybe the offense is going to come and go, right? Like that's the nature of offense is inconsistent and all of that, and that's anybody's offense. Like we caught Texas A&M at the right time, who had them or Tennessee had the best offense in the league. And you catch them at the right time. They're not swinging it great. You know, they got beat down in Baton Rouge and then came to our place and we won the first two games against them. And so I guess my explanation in that is by nature, even good offenses go up and down. The one thing where you can be super consistent is defensively. And I think that's the frustrating thing, kind of what you were saying for us. And it wasn't just the catching position, although that was obviously a glaring hole because, you know, you have to be good at that position. You have to be good at shortstop and you need to be good in center field, but specifically those two spots on the infield behind the plate and at shortstop, those are the places you have to be good defensively. I don't know that it's possible to win at a high level and not be good at those positions. And we weren't. And I think that's the first thing that comes to mind in some of the inconsistency of our team, because if you can be really solid there, and then you think about a guy like Riley Maddux, who pitched really well, he's not going to punch a lot of guys out. He's a sinker slider guy. He's going to get a ton of ground balls.
And you got a defense that can't catch behind him.
And you have to defend when a guy like it. Now it's a little different with Doyle, who's going to strike a bunch of guys out. You know, that's a little different. Or if Doug Nikhazy's on the, you know, those guys that go run out there and strike out 100 guys a year, you can probably get away with a little bit, but that wasn't who we were. And so, you know, that was some of the frustration, but you know, frankly, you and I could sit here for an hour and talk about different areas of frustration
I'm kind of over the talking about, oh, that was frustrating. Wish this had happened. That had happened. This happened. Just at some point, like it's Ole Miss, you know, it's Ole Miss baseball. I mean, this is an every year contender.
That's right.
One thing that Chase Parham, our buddy, we did a crossover kind of podcast on Friday, and one thing he brought up, because you're trying to diagnose, there isn't an easy fix. Maybe Ole Miss was late to the portal game. Maybe that's a criticism. All right. Maybe. I don't know, because Ole Miss killed the portal last summer, and it wasn't – you can't build it like in football, right? You can't just go out there, or in basketball. I need – four guys. I need a starting point guard, a two, and a, you know what I mean? Baseball's a little different. Especially when you consider that Ole Miss was recruiting to and signing premium positions, right? So what is learned then? You know, the uncertainty is gone. You know, you're not thinking, oh God, you know, am I gonna have to clean up my office on Monday? The season is over. You know that, like, the transfers that you did get, Luke Hill, what he is, you know, here compared to Arizona State, maybe he's not a shortstop, he's a second baseman, all of those things, right? Now that everything is settled, it's just evaluation mode. And now how do you go from 27 wins to back to the postseason where Ole Miss
belongs? Yeah.
Forgetting all the other stuff, right?
I think a really good point from a portal standpoint that's probably good for people to understand is in baseball, you still have to, my opinion is you still have to have the core group of players that are from the high school ranks. Like you look at any time we've been successful, it's that. Now, maybe some of those are pre-portal, but you even look around our league and pick a team who you think is good, and you will see the popular thing is to look at the portal guys, whether it's Braden Montgomery at Texas A&M or any of the guys at Tennessee, Billy Amick. But with those teams, you look at Tennessee, Blake Burke, Christian Moore, two of the best hitters in our league, high school guys from Tennessee. And so I think your point's a good one from a portal standpoint that may be a little unique or a little bit different in baseball is you have to recruit and develop your high school guys. I believe that wholeheartedly. And so now flip that.
That's what I was going to say, because that's the point that Chase brought up on Friday that I thought was really, in my opinion, the best one that anyone's made.
I would agree with that. I think it's a great point.
Like the 2020 high school class, for example, because of COVID, I mean, and how you evaluate stuff, guys, that point being,
yeah,
if you're trying to diagnose, I think that it's just the high school fruit isn't bearing like it used to. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
And so I think if as you spin that forward and you look towards next year, the other thing that I think coincides with developing your high school talent and having those guys come in and be the core of your team, the other thing that works with that is having those transfer pieces for multiple years. And I think that's where, you know, you saw with Leger, a guy that struggled in 2023, and then you spin it forward, and with a month to go in the season, unfortunately, he gets hit by a pitch and breaks his thumb and is out for the year. But with a month to go in the season, here's a guy who's hitting 325 or 330 with 13 home runs. You look at what those at-bats did for him, and the positive in what our portal class was a year ago is you're going to have Doyle, you're going to have Fisher, you're going to have Hill, you're going to have those guys back with a year's worth of experience. And let's be honest, especially in baseball, you know, if you go to Florida State in football or you come to Ole Miss in football, regardless, you're playing in front of 70,000 people. Baseball's really unique. This landscape of college baseball is really unique to our league in that you may play in the ACC, which is the second best league in the country, and play in two different ballparks that have over 4,000 people in them. And that's a real thing. And you come to our league and all of them have that. And so I think it's a different dynamic, meaning I think there's real growth that happens no matter where you came from, if you're a high school guy or portal guy or junior college guy, that happened from year one to year two. And so that's some of the excitement looking towards next year is we have a really good core group of players coming back with a bunch of college at-bats underneath their belt. And we didn't have that a year ago. We had Groff and Leger coming back, coming off of, I don't know, average at best years in 23. And we're trying to build out our entire structure of offensive players out of the portal. And that won't be the case in a year's time. And you look at all the good teams in our league, there's a lot of college at-bats, a lot of at-bats in that place, wherever they're at, underneath their belt, and we're going to have that next year, which is a positive. That's a good thing. And I think the same from a pitching staff standpoint. When is the last time, I guess, Doug, is the last time you walked into a year with a legitimate Friday guy that I think if you asked any coach in our league, hey, who's the best returning pitcher? He may not be the first name that comes to mind, but I think Doyle would be up there amongst the first four names that people say that would scare them as far as legit ace type guys coming back next year. And so you look at that core, I think everybody, all of our fans saw how talented Wes Mendez is, and what the upside of him, and the ceiling of he may be. So, from that standpoint, it's exciting. And like you and I talked off air, there's going to be, you know, some staff changes here that I think will give a shot in the arm a little bit that may help from a developmental standpoint and all of those things. And so I think that combination breathes a little bit of life into what's possible in a year's time. But you're right, like going from 27 wins to 40 wins, which is the expectation and the hope. Because if you get there, you're talking about hosting and all of those things. I think if you look at that on the surface, seems like a large jump. But then if you dig down into it, man, you're talking about if you told me LSU's playing in 2 weeks in Omaha, it wouldn't shock me. Mm-hmm. And that's a 13 win team. We were, you know, if you get to the granular level, it's like, man, the line of winning and losing is so razor thin. 30,000 foot view. Hey, you need to go from 27 wins to 40 wins or whatever that number is. Seems like a lot.
You start looking
at it at the core, man, it's that line is super thin. So,
or, hey guys, must win week. Gotta get them. Over.
That is true.
Oh.
The hard part, and again, sitting in my seat, is
you're the coach.
I'm
the loudmouth idiot that goes, catch the ball. It's like the most basic tenet of baseball. I need a man to throw it. I need a man to catch it.
I also think about
get down to that point where that was the struggle. The struggle
Friday against Kentucky, you know, you feel like you have a game won. Sunday against Auburn, you know, like, so for me, yes, because it was the most recent. Yes, because pressure or whatever that last week. But man, there were so many throughout, and I think that's probably, frankly and honestly, and like, hey, vulnerably.
As a coach,
your mind just works like you remember the losses way more than you remember the wins. And that's the same every single year, unless you win the last one. But you start looking back through at different games and you don't remember the Mississippi State down 7-3 in the eighth and you come back and win it and maybe a game that you stole. Those you don't remember. You remember the Auburn two outs, nobody on.
Oh, you remember bottom of the ninth in the SEC tournament in the last week of their season. You know,
all of those come top of mind before. Hey, that was a great win, or that was a great win, and that's true every year. I mean, it really is.
Except 2022, because you wouldn't think.
Correct.
That no one you cares about the 2 months of losing in 2020.
No, those become a distant memory. You remember the banner that's on the wall.
So here's what I was thinking. You and I are friends. We've been friends a long time. We don't prepare. I text him, say, hey, you want to be on the podcast? He'll say, yeah, I can do it now. And that's when we do it. So no preparation. I'm just going to throw common Ole Miss baseball criticisms at Mike Clement and just see what you think. You ready? Number one. Well, Banks Tiley went to App State, transferred out, and hit 28 home runs, coach. What the heck happened?
Yeah, that's a good one. It's really hard to. Number one, he's an awesome kid.
Look at that face. You have had this question thrown at you, like maybe you're at Proud Larry's on a Tuesday, you know, just having an afternoon, right? But it's been a hard year. Maybe you're sitting down taking some time to yourself in the corner bar, and you get a draft beer. It's ice cold, and you're waiting for your Philly cheesesteak or your calzone, it's Proud Larry's, to show up. And then here comes big bumbling Ben Garrett. Hey, coach, do you see what Banks Tiley doing over there at App State?
All right. First, if anyone sees me in the corner at Proud Larry's on a Tuesday afternoon drinking beer, ask me if I'm – call my wife immediately.
Join him. Buy him a second round. What are you talking about? That sounds like you're living a great day. Anyway, moving on.
First, I would say Banks is an awesome kid. Super happy for him. I also think he wanted to go somewhere where he felt like he was going to play every single day. And so he redshirted here last year. That decision was made before last season. We felt like he was going to be our fourth outfielder behind Kemp and Groff and McCants. He was going to certainly have a role on our team. He had 1 year left to play. He sat down with coach, hey, can I redshirt this year, practice all year with us? We said yes, and that's what happened. He entered the portal. We helped him however we could. And that's how we feel about him. I guess I would start with that. To his credit, he had an amazing year. The hard part to quantify, well, the easy thing to say from a fan standpoint would be like, yeah, let's say the numbers wouldn't have been as good in the SEC. We still could have used half of those numbers, and that's true. It's just really hard to quantify what that would look like here. And I don't have the answer to that. You know, would he have been the SEC player of the year? Like, he should have been the Sun Belt player of the year. I think he got snubbed on that. I don't know that. It would be silly of me to say no, because the kid is a super hard worker. He's got a great personality and is a great teammate. So I would never say that he wouldn't have been. But certainly the competition level is better in our league. And that's, I'm not trying to knock the Sun Belt, because it's a really good baseball league. So certainly that. And could we have missed on that? Sure. And obviously, you know, we've had guys go other places and have success. We've had guys go other places and not have success. And so we certainly want to put the best roster together
here's the thing.
Fighting to do that. I promise you, it wasn't one of those things where we'll show you, or you go to Boone, North Carolina, and not stay in Oxford. But we think you're going to be really good, but go there and be good.
Yeah. Oh, Banks. Yeah. We know you're the second coming of the Mick, but nope. Just, you ate my other half of the sandwich. Here's the thing about Banks, Tolly. It's not a knock on Banks, but Chase brought up a really good point the other day, and it stuck with me. And I'm not going to name names. Yeah, well, Trayson Hughes is a good example of this. You come from Mercer, you come up and you hit against lower competition. The SEC plays rolls around, and then the power zapped and all. I'm not saying that's Banks. Banks maybe just took a little bit of time that y'all didn't have and weren't afforded to him with where he was developmentally. Sure. But there is a question of transferability as far as lower level transfers in baseball to the highest level. This has been very talky. So really for me, I think, and I want you to tell me if I'm a dumbass or if I think I'm right around it. You know what I mean? I think the biggest problem for Ole Miss in just the 2024 view, longer term problems are being addressed, coaching staff stuff. And that's, you're an assistant to the head man. It's not like, I'm not going to go, hey, who we hired as a pitching coach, Mike? You know what I mean? Like, that's, he doesn't know, you know? Well, he might know a little bit, but he ain't going to say it. So really, I think the number one thing is an over-reliance because of COVID, how the roster was in complete flux with all that. Those decisions, maybe there were some missed evaluations about who to cut, who to keep, who got her. All those things play into it. But for this one singular year, an over-reliance on a new way of talent procurement that for baseball specifically still is very much an unproven ground, if you will. Like football, you could see the formula. I need an edge, a three tech. Look, Trey Harris was a quarterback in high school. He was a senior when he became a wide receiver in high school, went to Louisiana Tech and became a Biletnikoff Award candidate in 2 years, because developmentally it's different in football that way. Baseball, either you hit at this level or you don't. You know what I mean? And I think Ole Miss over-relied last year on those guys because of the failures of whatever it was, miss evals, generational pandemic. And I'm not making excuses. It's just roster-wise, for this year specifically, there were some hits. Andrew Fisher was your dude. That's your guy in recruiting. So give you some credit. I mean, he was the number one. And that dude crushed, right? So it's a little bit more than, well, Banks Tolley's at App State. TJ McCants left to go to Alabama. There were some wins. It's a longer-term view of that high school group. You're not getting the same kind of production for whatever reason. And I think the question now is, Do y'all see that too? And if that is the issue, and is that what you feel is being addressed?
I think a lot of that is accurate, you know, and we probably on some level had no choice. And I speak way more from the offensive side of things because of what my responsibility is, but to go that route a year ago in a snapshot view with what we lost. And I think no matter how 23 went, we knew we were going to have to go heavy into the portal going into 24, just because we knew we were going to lose. And typically it's been rare that you would lose three junior offensive players to the draft, all get picked, whatever, inside the top 100 picks. But we knew that we were going to have to rely pretty heavily on the portal. That is not a recipe that we want to use every single year, in answer to your question. And then obviously some of the pieces, I think the other legitimate gripe going off of Tolly is, you know, hey, TJ goes over to Alabama and has a good year. And just like he was here, his SEC numbers weren't nearly as good as what his out-of-conference numbers were. But then again, those are case by case. Everybody knows TJ's story. And, you know, I certainly am not going to put words in TJ's mouth, although I feel like he can. I'm as close with him as a lot of players that I've ever coached. His story is super unique. And most, again, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think if he were on here with us, most of his decision to leave Ole Miss didn't have to do with baseball. And I can say that pretty confidently, as he sat in somewhere around 365 days ago, sat in my office, just bawling his eyes out. And what we talked about was way less about baseball, maybe 10% about baseball and 90% about other things, which people know his story and all of that. And I could not be more proud, other than they beat us in a series. I couldn't be more proud of his production, and that's the human side of me. But to watch the Saturday night game, or whatever game two after we beat Alabama to tie that series, and then end up winning the Sunday game, him come across the field and give my son a hug, all of those things are awesome, and that I'll hold on to. So whatever, that wasn't the question,
that touched on something that. That you and I have dismissed for so long, but like, yep. TJ McCance is a kid that you helped raise in this game, man, and like him running to greet your kid, that is
really cool. Cool. And in fact, and again, this is complete sidebar, but my son woke up. I think we played them Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. So gets up to go to his preschool. He's 5 years old. He said, "Dad, I got a problem." I said, "What's up, Coop? What's the problem?" "I don't know if I'm supposed to cheer for Alabama or Ole Miss tonight." I said, "Well, I know who you're supposed to cheer for, and it's Ole Miss." He said, "Yeah, but because Garrett Wood is on their staff over at Alabama, and obviously TJ plays for him." He's like, "They got Garrett and TJ." I said, "Yeah, bud, but you can cheer for them all the other games, but you cannot cheer for them this weekend." Okay. That's fine.
Well, no. You are his dad. You are not Mike Clement, Ole Miss assistant coach. All right. You should have been like, "Hey, you know, cheer for your guys, support your people." You are also the most uncool person in his life right now. Like, my 11-year-old is like, you can see my 7-year-old back there. My 11-year-old, I am the most uncool person. Everything I say, even if it's very basic, you know, like, "Hey, I'd like to have a cheeseburger for lunch." "Daddy, oh my God, who wants a cheeseburger?" You know what I mean?
Unfortunately, it's only going to get worse too. They're like, they're not even really teenagers yet. My son's 5 and it's already starting. So at some point, I from what I've heard, they go off to college and they need you a lot more after that. No,
they
that.
Need your money.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I haven't bought myself anything. I haven't bought anything just for me since 2014. It's awesome. You know.
Anyway. Makes you a good husband and good father.
Thank you.
This is Callie. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. It's out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at CSpire, customer inspired.
The car buying process can be a lot. I know, I've been there. You just want to get in and out with a new car and the best deal. Simple. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford keeps it simple. They're going to take care of you, get you in and out with your new vehicle with a great deal. Their inventory right now is priced to sell, and what separates Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford from any and all competitors is they aim to address each of your needs with the utmost respect, care, and attention to detail. Contact them today at 662-234-8000. That's 662-234-8000. Stop by and see them in person at 2201 East University Avenue in Oxford. That's Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford to find your next perfect car, truck, or Jeep. Alan Samuels, let's be friends.
Ole Miss fans, your only choice for daily fantasy sports is Prize Picks. America's number one daily fantasy sports app, Prize Picks has over 5 million active members. And it's fun and it's simple. Pick two or more players from any sport, whether they'll go for more or less of their projected stats, choose flex or power play, and watch the winnings roll in. Flex means you still win even if one of your picks misses. Power plays are higher payouts, but you got to get all of your picks right. Bottom line, you have options that fit your daily fantasy playing style, but only with our friends at Prize Picks. And they've already made me a winner. CeeDee Lamb, an easy pick for more than 96 receiving yards. The only weapon for Dak Prescott in his more or less of 263 passing yards. Even better, you can now get up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. And winning withdrawals with Prize Picks are fast, safe, and secure. When those picks hit, you can get your money in as quick as 15 minutes. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. That's code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Code TALKOFCHAMPIONS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive this $50 bonus. It's guaranteed with Prize Picks. Run your game.
You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? Because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry, Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Kessinger, former Ole Miss baseball player, son of Ole Miss Hall of Famer Don Kessinger, and dad to Ole Miss All-American shortstop Gray Kessinger, and your local community banker with BNA Bank. BNA Bank has invested 125 years in our communities, and we know the needs of North Mississippi businesses better than anyone. As a commercial lender with BNA Bank, my priority is Oxford, and I'd love to help you and your business with any lending needs.
Visit www.bnabank.com to learn more. BNA Bank, local, invested, modern banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
What are y'all going to do? What do y'all need to do?
Yeah, I think moving forward, we're certainly going to be active in the portal, and and we're going to get some portal players. The good, like I've said before, is I think the retention is going to be really good. I think probably some fear in some of our fans and some people that love our program is that, oh man, they've had two bad years in a row, which has never happened in the 24 years that Mike has been here. And man, and with the new age, we got a bunch of guys that are going to get in the portal. What about the guys who played well? Are they going to get in the portal? I think the positive thing that people will see is I'm sure we're going to have a few guys in the portal, but the retention is going to be really good. And I think that first shows how much our guys love this town, love this university, and then love our baseball program, love the continuity of our staff, all of those things. And so that's a good thing. It's not going to be some overhaul where we have to go find a completely new team. Largely the exit meetings and all of those things were incredibly positive. And so I think that speaks to Coach. It speaks to Oxford. It speaks to Ole Miss. It speaks to Keith, all of those things, and the continuity of our athletic department, all those things. So I think that's number one and good, that we have a good core. We've got to play better defense. We're always going to be in the market for a pitcher or two. And we're always going to be in the market for the best available hitter, whatever that looks like, wherever that guy plays. But we can't be bad defensively. You can't win and be bad defensively. You look at Arkansas, super average offensively. They can really pitch and really play defense. If you're good at two of the three in the past, you look at some of our teams, 2019, 2021, you can really play defense. You can really hit, you can really win a lot of games. So you've got to be elite at two of those three things, to make up for those things. So we got some gaps to fill from that standpoint. So, we got to get through the draft with some of our high school guys, and have them make an impact. And then the other thing that we haven't talked about yet is some of those young guys. They need to take a step forward. You know, I think everyone saw that Campbell Smithwick has a chance to be a really, really good hitter in our league.
My God, I think you got the yips back there. I mean, did he struggle with that? Like, because that's one thing when we were talking on Friday about, you know, you can see where it was. You know, a lot of people look at the numbers and see the pass balls, the big problems, and they go, how is this kid top 50? The hit tool is next level. That kid is a major league bat, right?
Yep.
So, like, how do you just forget how to catch? Was it the yips, do you think?
Yeah, And I think the thing that'll make sense to a lot of people in Campbell's case is they never saw on the field it happen, but the same thing kind of happened to, in my time here, Nick Fortes. But we had Henry Lartigue, who was first team all SEC. We tried for Nick to be our catcher. It didn't work for him as a freshman, and so Lartigue stepped in and was our catcher. After that, it was Cooper Johnson. We wanted him to be our catcher. Nick, go play first base. You could DH or whatever. Cooper really struggled, and he's the best defensive catcher I've ever coached, but he struggled defensively. Obviously, he struggled offensively too, but he struggled defensively, and so Fortes goes back there. You know, we didn't really see it with Dunhurst, but his freshman year was the COVID year. And so I don't know how that turns out. He was going to be our catcher and all of that. But he only had a 16 game sample size that year. And so what really happened, and thank goodness for Birch, he was able to get back there and really unfair to him. What we recruited him to be, he was, we just didn't think he was going to be our everyday catcher. And so, I don't even know if that's in Campbell's defense. That's just realistically what has happened over the last decade almost with our catchers. And so he's going up to the Cape. There's only two catchers on his team. He's going to catch every other day. And I think that's going to be super healthy for him to go up there and get away and go catch. And that's what he needs to do. He played on the best travel team in the country. And it's not like he's not caught good arms or any of that. And so kind of to your point about question, what happened? Was it the yips? He got sped up back there. And obviously everyone saw what the result was, and no one, you know, he sat in my office, I don't know what day it was, maybe Thursday of last week. And no one's more disappointed or harder on Campbell than Campbell is.
But you should have sent him out there to run some stairs about 30 more. How dare he, you know? Yeah. I mean,
the beauty of that kid is that he's an incredibly hard worker. He's an incredibly awesome kid, and he's going to get better. There's no question in my mind. He's going to get past that, and I think he's going to be a superstar here. I really do.
Yeah. If I told you you were only going to be able to slam dunk address two positions particularly with plug and play, they're going to be – I mean, there are two Andrew Fishers. Who would it be? Where would it be?
Well, catcher's got to be one of them. And I don't mean plug and play like someone different. Maybe it will be, because we're going to bring in a catcher.
Add the qualifiers all you want. It's fine. Go.
But that position has to be better. Has to be better. Defensively, the shortstop position has to be better. Now, I'm the hitting guy, so I'm going to say two position players. Obviously, you know, you'd love to solidify another piece on the mound as well. But some of that, we have a few more question marks on the mound from a draft standpoint. We just, you know, most of our position players aren't draft eligible, so they're coming back, so that's easy. And that's the other hard part to balance, is the portal closes on like July 3rd or something, it's July 5th, but the draft doesn't happen until July 12th. So the balancing act and all the balls in the air from now until our first meeting are hard to juggle. But certainly those aren't our only needs. You know, we have others as well. But again,
I know that. I just wanted to know what the big two were. That's all I'm at. That's all I'm saying. I knew it was back. Like you could say, backup catcher. I think one thing that hurt was not having just a strong defensive catcher to play with Campbell. And then at shortstop, like you said, Luke struggled there defensively in the step up. Braden Randall was great to start, but then the SEC plays. That's where the separator. Those are the obvious ones. And you know, when you look at what Ole Miss could potentially be doing now, what's like the schedule? You said that like the portal closes July. What'd you say?
I don't remember. It opens June 3rd.
June 3rd. So it's about to open up. Yeah. So what does that mean for you and Laugh when y'all, like, once June 3rd happens, like, what are you going to be doing? You know, between now and then, and once that happens, how does that change your day to day? Yeah, all that kind of stuff, because people don't know.
Question. So the balance for Laugh and myself, Coach, with Cleary, all of those things, the balance is we still have to get out and see 2026s, right? So the high school guys, the normal high school circuit that we're going to recruit. And so the balance on our staff is going to be probably mostly here with the portal, see who's in. What kind of calls we are getting. And let's be honest, here's how the portal works. It's not like names are going in there and it's like, oh, wow, that guy, let's find his number and call him. There are rumors that go out there, and I don't know. It's like this in every sport. Like, you know, I have a relationship with the basketball and football staffs and all of that. Like, it's the same thing with everybody, right? Like, you hear
pre-portaling
that. We're not calling anybody until their name appears in the portal, but with a lot of those guys, you have heard that they could or might or whatever. And so then it becomes, can you organize this week to try
it's
to...
Pre-portaling is what he's talking about. He's talking about the tampering portal. Moving on.
No tampering here.
We
don't do any tampering, but... if we get an email or a phone call, we listen, and you know, we can't do anything until, you know, we tell them the rule and all of that. So that would be this week, and then next week, you know, start to look at where guys are playing summer ball as far as the portal goes. Hey, do we need to go watch them? Or who, maybe we don't need to go watch them, we just need to bring them in on a visit. And so those things start, but at the same time, you can't get caught behind on the high school part of it, which we talked about. So some of us will be going out and watching high school guys play in the summer circuit, all the while trying to keep our mind on the draft, talk to our incoming guys who will be on campus here in a month or so for summer school, and keep them locked in from a, hey, you need to come to college and not sign standpoint. And really,
it's a little different now than it used to be, isn't it? I mean, I know that that used to be a big story in July. You know, it's like, man, maybe we can negotiate to keep him from signing with the Red Sox in Quez, cough, cough. You know, like now it's just like, he's either going to get his number or he won't, and we're either going to have him or we won't. Y'all are mostly just – it's not like you're going to be going, oh, golly, well, we gave him this number. Here, we're waiting to see on this night if he's going to get drafted. If he doesn't get the number he wants, then he's coming to school. You know, like, it's very bottom line now.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. So it is much, much more black and white than what it used to be. Really, probably when it comes down to it, you talking about watching the draft, is this guy going to get drafted? Is he going to stick to his number? When it comes down to it in any class, there's probably two guys. Obviously, Cooper Pratt was a huge blow to us a year ago. We thought he was in school, all of that. We thought his number was one thing. And so sometimes it can slide and we can get surprised. And, you know, a number may be what we are told and what the reality is may be different. And so, but to your point, there's one or two of those now, as opposed to more of those. I think people are way more solidified in that, hey, no, I'm coming to school. They're not going to get to this number. And I think we have a better feel and more open lines of communication than in the past with the professional clubs. Like, hey, this is where we have this guy. Like, there's no way. And we even have so much information. Roman Anthony, a couple of years ago, who ended up signing with the Red Sox, who was in school, we knew his number was going to be $2.5 million. He's not signing for a dime less than $2.5 million. And the only organization that that values him at that is the Red Sox. And so we knew we were battling against one organization. They end up drafting in the second round, give him his number, and all of that. But he got his number, and it was hug and we'll see you later.
Happy for you.
Wish we had him. He's in Double A. But
going to be a stud, man.
But I think you're right in that it's way more black and white, but we will certainly fight it with two guys probably.
Who are you most watching?
I think Slade Caldwell is going to get drafted really good. You know, if I hedged my bet on that one, that one may work against us. I think we
happens.
I feel really good about Owen Pano, who's a short left-hand hitting shortstop from New York that is very famous and has a chance. And I know he's asking for a lot of money, and I know he really wants to come to school. It would be one of those things where he'd have to
be blown away.
If he does not show up, everyone's going to look at it and be like, well, yeah,
this I understand. Is I get
so, so we feel like we have a pretty good beat on it, but again, that's 6 weeks away. And right. So, things change, numbers change, all of that. But we feel pretty good about our process and our system that's in place of families trusting us, us knowing what a number is, families being very open with that. You're right. I think for whatever reason, and I don't think it's just us, I think, and maybe it's because our league and college baseball has gotten way more popular, and you can see where college guys, they're not scared to move really quick afterwards. So I think college is a super attractive option for most people.
Baseball players are getting paid now. It just used to not be that way. You know, like really can get paid in college now. So
and it's not only paid, we get 11.7 scholarships. So like, they're not paying out of pocket. You know, before it's like, all right, am I going to sign for $1 million or am I going to go to school for 3 years and owe that school $75,000 over 3 years? You know, like that's the crazy part. Mike always tells the story when he talks to donors or whatever. Hey, there's a guy that has a statue out in our stadium and he was on 33% of a scholarship. His parents over 5 years paid $150,000 for Tim to go to Ole Miss and get a degree. They paid for the statue.
All right. So real quick, before we get out of here, Clem, Summer assignments. You said that Campbell is in the Cape. Where is everybody else?
Oh boy. See, this is the stuff that Ben usually maybe will text me the day before him and ask you about summer assignments. Where's everyone going? Here's our Cape Cod guys. Yeah. I do know those. Smithwick is in the Cape. Andrew Fisher is in the Cape. Luke Hill will be going to the Cape. Sam Tekoyan will be going to the Cape. Patrick Gallet will go to the Cape. Judd Udermark to the North Woods League. Drew Markle to the California Collegiate League. I am missing some guys for sure.
It's okay, but like it's pretty impressive that you can go that deep. Like from Doyle was, assignments.
Doyle was going to go to the Cape, but we're going to shut him down. He threw too many innings, which we do with a lot of pitchers, you know, like Doyle.
Okay.
I am sure I'm missing a couple position players that are out playing and their parents are going to watch this and be like, oh, Clem doesn't care about our kid.
Yes, he does.
I love your kid. Braden Randall, we are shutting down. You know, he just felt like he got tired at the end of the year. So he's going to stay in Oxford and, you know, do the strength stuff and all of that. I'm sure I'm missing somebody.
Well, over at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Defeated on Three, it's where I work. I've been writing all about for like a week now. Gonzo got promoted to AA Birmingham. He and Tim Elko, we've been talking about Elk.
Gonzo, AA Player of the Week last week.
My man is he's doing what we knew he was going to do. Yeah, you know, he was just bored in college. He was bored in single A. He's less bored in double A. He's going to end up being a better major leaguer than he was anything at any level.
I got a call from the some of the professional positions I don't understand, but maybe the White Sox hitting coordinator. And he's like, hey, do you think Jacob likes what he's doing? I started laughing. I was like, hey, listen, loves what he's doing. He's not going to give you a lot of emotion. He may not even smile that much, but he's not going to be mad either. He is just going to go play. I promise you he likes it. The best thing for them, and like he said, he's like, well, the good thing is his first stop, he was with Calvin Harris, and so he had someone, and now he's with Elko. And so they deflect a little bit of it, and, you know, Jake would rather get four hits and then just go to the clubhouse and eat spread and then head back to the house and let Elko do all the interviews and all that stuff. So I think they got that dynamic going. So,
but it's really cool that they're back together again as teammates, and Calvin's really cool. Far behind. And when you think about a lot of frustration for the last 2 years, that 2022 title team, you got a reunion there in AA Birmingham, and they've both started off hot, and yeah, they're on their way, man. And it's really cool to see, because just because Ole Miss lost some games you want them to lose this year, there's going to be some more next year. And those kids, man, they're close to, they're on the doorstep. That's really fun.
They are. Really, it's cool. Amazing how many guys we got in the upper levels of minor leagues. It's really cool. Really.
James MacArthur's crushing it, bro.
Yeah. In fact, I got a text. Michael Waka, who is one of the Royals starters.
Michael Waka playing.
When I was the volunteer at A&M, he was on our pitching staff. I say it that way because normally you're like, oh, I coached him. I patted him on the butt. Like when he came in, hey, nice job. Rode his coattails to Omaha in 2011.
Great.
Anyway, he had said that he's like, man, MacArthur, he has the best breaking ball in our organization. Like he's killing it. He's closing for him. He's done awesome. Really proud of him. Awesome kid.
Is there a player that you would buy that not named Gonzo that you would buy the most Ole Miss stock? Is like, he's going to be in the big leagues. Y'all better buy it now. Like minor league. Oh, yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
You talk about bored. That guy's given up like two runs in double A. Like, I don't know what they're doing. Like, just send him to the big leagues.
He's old enough. He's fine. Just he's either going to pitch there well or he's not.
He is. He's the best. He's the best college. I mean, I've been in the dugout with plenty of big leaguers. He is the best college pitcher I've ever been around. I would give. I mean, we downsize our house. Half my salary to have him back, I would say, safely. I mean, send our kids to public school.
I grew up in public school, baby.
So did I.
Public school rules.
Regents is a really good school here in town, though. That's where my kid goes.
Albany High School, W.P. Daniel, it hadn't really changed since the 70s.
Anyway, never eat out. Save all my money.
Processed food sucks anyway.
for Doug Nikhazy to come back.
We've just figured it out.
He could have my office. I would office out of the locker room.
He still has eligibility. No, he doesn't have eligibility. Point is, how do we solve Mike Clement, Ole Miss baseball hitting coach, long tenured assistant? How do we solve the issues of Ole Miss baseball for the last 2 years? And what have we come up with over an hour?
Bring Doug Nikhazy back.
He's Mike Clement. Ah, you're the best, my friend. Appreciate you.
Hope people enjoyed it.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.